scratched my glasses.
He's going to make sure
he's giving me a ride.
I wonder if my wife's still at home, though. Which is funny because it appears as though I've left my phone in the car.
Is that how you do it?
I wonder if she'll answer it.
Swipe it, put it in your pocket.
I don't have the password.
And then the battery doesn't work.
Right, then you have to remember to turn it off at some point.
Yeah. I don't have a password in it. If I still worked, I would. Now that I know that,
hey, baby.
I'll just find your...
Hey, I'm wondering, is our internet working?
We were in Seattle.
Yeah.
For about 6 weeks. And no rain. It was the driest summer.
There should be three lights at the top. Okay. Okay, can you do me a favor? Can you go to the Macintosh, my Macintosh, and wiggle the mouse or click a mouse button? Oh, wait a second. Hold on a second. This isn't looking like our problem there. It's looking like a problem here. Just check and see up at the bar at the top if it's connected to its Wi-Fi.
Connected.
It is. Yeah, no, I'm connecting. It's here. The problem is here. Thank you, honey. Love you. Bye. Okay, cool.
It's connected.
It's totally a problem here.
You got here with a car?
Yeah.
Was there gas in the car?
Yeah.
Really? But wiggle the thing and then you'll make it work.
Right. It's a mouse. It's not a car. There's a reason I fix computers and not automobiles. Okay. All that's working. That's amazing. It just all of a sudden popped into working.
Scott, what's the name of
the B&B? Anchorage Walkabout Town Bed and Breakfast.
It's the bar or the restaurant?
Either one should work, but the bar is the one right up here.
What's the password?
Tequila. All right, we're almost up, and we're just a few moments behind.
And I'm thinking, it's connected.
Yeah, no, we were connected.
And then it bounced.
And then it disappeared. The Wi-Fi signal, and I had to reboot that access point, and then we were connected again. And then we weren't actually going out on the internet. Now we're finally going out on the internet. So I think that should be live. This should be live. And we should be up. And hopefully it'll stay up the entire time we're doing this. And we're ready to go. Only 3 minutes late. Hello, everyone out there. This is Scott Stimson and the San Carlos Computer Club. We meet every Tuesday from 9:15 to 10:15-ish to discuss the tech topics of the day. All right, that's the intro. The intro's done.
Do we meet next week?
We don't. Thank you for bringing that up. Let me see. What are the dates? Let me bring up the calendar. I'm going to be missing the week of Christmas. So next week we'll meet, but we won't meet on Christmas.
Okay, what about next week?
Yes, we'll meet next week on the 18th, but then the following Tuesday after that is Christmas, so we're not meeting then.
What about the next week?
The first, why don't we cancel that too?
Cancel what?
Unless we'll have a whole different kind of meeting. It'll be more like a recovery meeting. And I might show up. That's right.
So what was the final answer?
So the final answer.
So the next meeting would be on the 8th of January.
Thank you.
Oh, I'm sorry. The next meeting is next week.
Right.
And then after that, it's the 8th of January.
Got it.
And we can reaffirm that. That's right. Next year.
Okay, January 8th.
Okay. And we'll reiterate that again next week, since we will be here next week.
And your cell phone. deal is at the...
On the 10th.
On the 10th.
On the 10th. Cell phones for dummies.
Right.
And I have just been handed a golden list of questions that I intend to answer at that...
Oh, you're going to love the questions.
Excellent.
When is it?
The 10th of January at the Club Deportivo at 7 p.m., I think, is when they start opening the doors.
Yeah, the doors are open at 6:30.
Oh.
And the bar will be open,
oh,
which helps a lot.
Did you say open bar? Is that what you said?
No, the bar will be open.
Oh, okay.
Maybe rock tomatoes.
I was going to say, now I'm really encouraged to go.
And Ray, what do they charge?
It's free.
I think it's 500 pesos.
500?
No.
50 pesos is what I was thinking.
50. And it goes to Castaway Kids after the... I think they have to give in Deportivo a piece of the action. But after that, the rest of it goes to Castaway Kids.
And that's
if that's the choice that you want to make. You get to choose which charity.
This is what I've been told. I get to choose the charity, and I don't really have a preference, so I'm going to let my wife and her sister determine what charity.
I need to know for the poster.
Okay. I think they're contacting you shortly with logo and...
I got the...
Oh, you got the logo?
I've got... No, not your logo.
Okay.
But I have the smartphone for dummies all laid out.
Oh, okay. So I was told we could put our business logo on it.
Perfect.
And yeah, so I think Sony or Yuya will be getting a hold of you shortly.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Is the list of 10 questions to be only?
Was there only 10 questions?
No,
I got two
I had
pages. I got
really?
Two pages of questions.
Well, you said
I've been
10.
Telling people for weeks if you have questions.
Right. Oh, I didn't know that. I thought you were
that's what it's made for.
Yes.
I'm a little discouraged by two pages worth of questions because I was told it was going to be a very, very beginner's topic class. So hopefully it's all stuff I can easily cover. But I think you were telling me the norm is around about an hour.
Like. Well, no, some of the lectures have gone for two. This is part of this educational series that Jan Raines puts on every year.
Okay.
And she got a cell phone, I don't know how many months ago, and she's still confused by it, as are many of us. So she thought, what about that? And I thought, I think it's a great idea because I know a lot of people that get terribly confused on their cell phones, smartphones especially.
Well,
so
hopefully we can
sort of volunteered after I wrote him in.
Well, I'm happy to do it, and hopefully it is. I mean, we won't end up getting into any in-depth, very specific stuff.
I'm sure you won't.
But we'll try and keep it focused on the general behavior of cell phones and smartphones in general.
We've had a lot of questions about radiation.
Okay.
Radiation.
Oh, Lord.
I would still like to know if you can unlock a phone.
Yes, sir.
Well, it depends on the type of phone it is and what kind of state it's in. Because when you bring iPhones into the equation, it is possible to get an iPhone that's completely un-unlockable.
I know that.
Yeah.
But can you unlock a phone that's locked?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, just cut the person's finger off.
Yes, they got a code.
That's one way.
Can't you break the
code? Juan unlocks them.
You can, if it's an Android phone, it's typically not hard to unlock.
But typically, most of the new Androids are.
Probably, I know which
are more are they?
Yeah, I think that there's supposed to be more security. Like, there are cell phones now. I mean, the iPhones are a good example, but I think the latest Google phones have a security chip in them.
Oh.
And you're not able to unlock them.
Oh.
As soon as they're locked, they can't be unlocked. But if you've got some of the older model Android phones, then they're very easy to unlock.
Really?
Just buy a phone on eBay and get them unlocked.
I have a brand new Android phone.
Oh, and I'm sorry. Do you mean unlocked from a carrier?
I guess, yes.
Or do you mean, like, get past their password?
Well, No, unlock
from, unlock carrier. From their carrier. Okay. Who yeah, on an Android phone, that's typically pretty easy to do.
Really?
Yeah. An iPhone too, if it's
did
paid
you buy
for.
A Verizon?
If it's paid for, and no, it actually has to be unlocked by the carrier.
That's right.
But on eBay? Easy.
No, yeah. I bought it from Walmart.
But you're talking about your track phone.
Right there.
It's a track phone. We just had this conversation.
Right.
Okay, so you probably...
If you have it on?
It may not be that easy to unlock if you're under a contract with it right now.
Yeah, the battery's low, unfortunately.
Have you already paid for the equipment?
Mm-hmm.
Completely?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. In fact, there's a good chance it's probably already unlocked.
Yeah, if it's a track phone.
If you just recently bought it, most phones are being sold unlocked right now.
They told me it was locked.
Oh.
Okay.
Locked a track phone?
Who's they?
Walmart.
Oh, well, they would probably know. They would probably know.
Before you buy stuff.
Yeah. Yeah.
I didn't know.
What happened with the CFO of Huawei?
Of Huawei.
Huawei.
Huawei, please, Huawei.
She's in jail.
Is there a way to tell on that?
She, it's a woman. This is a great gossip topic.
How do you spell that? H-U-A-W-E-I.
Huawei. It's the second largest Chinese tech company. And it is run by a guy that used to be in the government. And his daughter is second in charge, and she is in line to inherit the leadership of Huawei. And they stopped her in Canada and arrested her for extradition to the United States to face charges.
Of what?
Well, this whole Huawei and ZTE have been these companies that are being held responsible for selling technology that originated in the United States to North Korea and Iran. And the way I understand the story, they were punished for doing that, and they were set on a list of things they had to do to get back in good graces. And from what I understand from the story, Huawei did all the things they were supposed to do. And ZTE did not. They actually went back to selling product and got caught again. But for some reason, the Trump administration has been working really hard to forgive ZTE and working really hard to stop Huawei. And this is part of stopping Huawei. Now, all I know is the surface information. And what we've learned these days is what we're being told isn't necessarily what's going on.
Exactly.
Well, they also said something about him putting a chip in to spy on us, so...
Well, that was the Bloomberg article that was talking about that. And they're still refuting a lot of those, the claims of Bloomberg, that was actually going on. The spying stuff that was... And that's all alleged so far. Was with their big switch items. It was like building a whole infrastructure out of Huawei products. That's what the United States is stopping from happening, at least in the United States right now.
It has to do with the internet?
Well, it has to do with cell phone networks. Like 5G would be a good example. Like there's all these bids right now for 5G equipment, and the United States does not want Huawei in those discussions. They don't want to have Huawei as one of the competitors for those contracts. And so they're doing everything to keep Huawei from being able to do that kind of business, to the extent of stopping carriers from selling you Huawei phones. I mean, you can buy them from Amazon, but you can't go to AT&T and buy a Huawei phone. Or you can't go to Verizon and buy a Huawei phone.
But you can go to Telcel. They have tons of them.
Well, we're talking about the United States right now. Yeah. Telcel's definitely selling Huawei phones. In fact, a lot of the modems in your houses are from Huawei.
What if you unlock it? Take it to the United States.
It'll work. I've got a Huawei phone.
I'm very happy with my Huawei phone.
Same Huawei, both of us.
Yeah.
I like it.
I think they're great equipment. I mean, it would be unfortunate to find out that there was some spying device in my particular phone.
Unfortunate.
Yeah. But, again, that seems to be the way everything's going. It seems like I'm not using an anonymous device because it's an Android phone in the first place. It's not like any of my information is kept between me and whoever. There's, in fact, one of the topics that I've come in with today is that article that was in the New York Times the other day. I don't know if any of you looked at it, but it was pretty revealing, the intimate data that could be revealed from the apps that run in your phone that have asked for permission to keep track of your location information. In fact, I would suggest it to anybody. I'll put a link on the website to the article. But it's fascinating to scroll through the graphics and just watch as people's location data propagates in different areas. They had a picture around a church and all the members that were in the church at that time. Or an individual as they went from their home to the doctor's office and went for a Slurpee or something afterwards. It was really, you could narrow it down to individual. And even though none of the data that's being sold and distributed right now actually is your name, it's not hard to gather your information. When 1,000 times a dot is picked up at the same location and followed to one of a dozen locations, it's pretty obvious who that is. A lot of places, public record of what that address you originated at is, boom, you've got somebody's name, and now you've got their 12 favorite sites of interest, and it's very easy to figure out who that person is that's providing that location data. It's a little ominous to look at, and it kind of goes back to that same discussion that we've had before about how we're really living in this time where information is just out there and being collected.
And false information, too. I mean, if we talk about having a... you say you're in one place, but you're in another as far as the Internet is concerned?
Being VPN. Able to...
You're talking about VPN?
VPN, yes, VPN. So you really could use VPN and say you're in another place. VPN would override it.
Yeah, I mean, this article that we're bringing... In fact, let me just get into it a bit because it'll be kind of interesting. They title it, "Your Apps Know Where You Were Last Night, and They're Not Keeping It Secret." And the New York Times has gotten a hold of a database, sample of information from 2017. It's been provided by one of these companies. There's over 75 companies out there that specialize in collecting location data and selling it to companies to use for their decision making. They claim to gather information on over 200 million mobile devices. I mean, it's basically half the mobile devices in the United States. This, this has become a big industry. It's they recognize it as about a $21 billion industry. And IBM has gotten into this big time. And so what they're doing is they're providing the analytics and all this information. It's a little convoluted because 75 companies control the location information that stems from tens of thousands of applications that are out there on the Internet. The IBM example was great. They just bought the Weather Channel's apps. Right? And apparently, in some of the reading I was doing of this article, it said that they were able to track where this data goes. And the weather app, specifically WeatherBug, when you give your location data, it gets distributed to 40 different information companies that then sells that to companies, the analytics that are generated from those companies.
Well, you're sitting at a restaurant and get a pop-up. Would you rate so-and-so where you are?
Right. That's right. In fact, one of the examples that was used by a data company was they targeted people in emergency rooms with claims lawyers. What are they called? I can't remember.
Oh, yeah.
The ambulance chasers. Ambulance. Yeah, I can't remember the name of that type of lawyer. But yeah, that was their whole point. That was their whole business model, was personal sending injury. Those kinds of advertisements to people sitting in emergency rooms.
Personal injury.
Thank you, Ed. Personal injury lawyers. Mm-hmm. That's so, ambulance chasers.
So when you get that thing that says, do you want this app to know where you are, why would you do that? I mean, I always say no, wondering, but not because of this, just
well,
because.
It depends on which it won't take you there if you don't say yes.
Yeah, sometimes it won't work if you don't say yes.
You block them, they block you. Yeah.
There's a lot of apps that don't work unless you share that information. So you have to make a judgment.
I guess I have very simple, innocent apps or something.
Yeah. Well,
yeah,
in
it's like weather. If
I think that's a good discussion.
That's where you are.
To be fair with you, Richard had proposed this article for our discussion today, and I actually ended up in a discussion with him before coming in, where he was really talking about, I mean, what you're describing there is a good way of limiting how much of this data leaks out of you personally, is by making sure you don't allow locations, turn off your geolocation. But really, in my mind of thinking, these are marketers that they're selling your information for marketing. But maybe there is a real concern about your personal information. You personally. I don't know, but it seems to me if I was a private investigation company doing background checks, I would want access to that same analytic data. But I wouldn't want it to market to a general group. I would want it to very specifically know where you were last night, which actually can be found in the data quite easily. In fact, one of the people that the Times was interviewing, they'd gotten permission from people they knew were in the data set to target them specifically and see how accurate it was and how easy it was. And they were able to see her staying at her ex-boyfriend's house the night before.
I think we did test that.
Well, you know when you watch the detective shows on TV? They're all doing that. They can know exactly, or if you watch any of the live shows, you know, to catch a criminal.
Well, have you ever seen in one of those shows where they're purchasing the data from a third-party company other than checking cell records?
Yeah.
Do they do that in Law and Order? Because that's the part that should really be amazing us, is that hundreds of thousands of apps are out there. A lot of them are asking for your location information. Most of them are selling them to one of 75 or more companies that markets all that data by analyzing it and sending it off to different businesses that want to purchase the analytics.
So criminals and syndicates can buy exactly all this information.
Well, why couldn't they? Sure. I mean, it would seem like they would be the same people demanding whatever guys they have up. It seems like they could find that information very useful.
But a lot of criminals aren't that smart, you know. They think they are, but they're not that smart.
No. But organized crime is.
Organized crime is.
Organized crime is very smart in that respect. What if we actually had organized crime take the time to get those analytics and could produce an algorithm? I mean, we've already seen lots of organized crime there are a lot of good hacking organized crime out there. If they could get the analytics of where's the best places to rob, who's got the most money, and when are they not at their houses,
right,
and distribute that down their chain of commands, those kinds of burglaries are actually, especially in places like Manhattan or Massachusetts or Los Angeles, it seems like there'd be a big payoff from that kind of stuff.
Big money.
Yeah, if anything, the most revealing of this kind of article is how we really don't have a lot of regulation in place about sharing location data. And probably that's really what's to take away from it is we need to be aware of this. Everybody needs to be aware of this is the way it works. There aren't a lot of solutions. You can do a little bit to protect yourself personally, but in general, this stuff is going on.
What can you do to protect yourself?
Well, like I was saying before, was suggested down the table here is you don't have to give them your location information. They ask for it all the time, and you can just say no. On that, as well as that being asked for it, I just want to mention there aren't any asking for your location data messages that are saying, by the way, we're selling this to 30 companies.
No, they don't say that.
Apparently, you will find that if you go look in the terms of service and their privacy. They are obligated by law to share that information in their terms of service. But we've all been lulled into the sense of you have to say yes or I don't get to use the app. So what does it matter what it says in the terms of service? Yeah.
So LinkedIn is agreeing to use cookies?
Well, it's definitely affected by that. The GDPR is what's what's caused those messages.
And you
but
pretty much have to say yes to that.
Yeah. Yeah, and if anything, it's had a real nulling effect on information where we don't even bother to read any of that information anymore because we got to use the website. We've got to have a shift in the culture of how this stuff is done. And I think it comes from a lot of regulation up front. And the regulation isn't so much to stop business as it is to protect people. That's where we need to see the regulations. It has to be very specific, stringent regulation protecting personal privacy, so that these businesses are constantly looking for permission to do business instead of just doing it.
Yeah, but the government is spying on us anyway.
It is. And that personal protection regulation has to be applicable to government as well. I mean, they have to be wrong until it's right. I think that's what where it comes from. The unfortunate thing is they try and do that. The GDPR is a good example of trying to do that. They're trying to place the organization as being wrong first, and they have to get explicit permission to be in the right, and that's why we end up with all these messages saying it's okay to have cookies, and it all defeats the purpose. There needs some real intelligent design going on, and that's not what's happening right now. It feels more like there's a lot of jumping through loopholes to continue to do the same thing.
Hey, Linda, is that what you're talking about?
To get for the car?
Yeah.
Yeah, but you can get one. Does that have three on it?
Is that actually an Alexa that plugs into a cigarette lighter? Oh,
yes.
It's a power supply.
Does it have three
Alexa
on it?
Also.
Oh, look at that. It's actually an Alexa that plugs into a cigarette lighter.
Yeah.
That's a cool product. Look at
really?
That.
Really? I've not seen that.
Alexa-enabled 2-port USB car charger.
Can you read your book and just tell
them know where you're at.
Roll Viva.
You can text and drive.
Not only do they know where you are, they know what you're saying at the time. You know who you're with.
Yeah, there you go.
You know it wasn't your wife.
All that is 12 volt, that's all. Your thing works.
This is Roe Viva by Anker. Alexa-enabled 2-port USB car charger. In-car navigation. Calling, messaging, drop-in announcements, music streaming.
Alexa's been licensed to a number of products now. I would imagine this is an Alexa-enabled device.
And it's got Alexa built in. Talk to Alexa through this device.
That's wild.
So we were just talking about I bought the little...
So if I could relate this to what we're talking about, you can't tell this to not use location data. There is no option to switch off location data. And fortunately, you could pop it out if you didn't want it to record conversations. You could probably pop it out of your dash and turn it off.
$50.
Mm-hmm. This is $50, but the Alexa's only $29.99.
Without a power source.
Why would you want this?
Well, it's got a plug-in.
Right. Yeah.
And you can plug it into your lighter.
Yeah. Does it have the cigarette lighter adapter that comes with it?
Well, you can do
that. I don't think
with
so.
Others.
And so I think you have to buy that apart.
I do it now with my...
That separate.
That's simply a transformer.
But what would the family do if the Alexa was gone out into a car?
My family do the same thing they do in the kitchen. They'd start playing reggae music and reggaeton and Latin hot hits.
Advertise that you can take your cell phone and control and take the Alexa James. In the car and then control the Alexa with your cell phone. But then they have this other item that you could just stick on your dash. And it had Alexa in it too. And it was like this price, $49.
It has to have some kind of internet capabilities.
Well, it probably.
But you're powering it off of your Alexa, you're powering off your phone.
But that
because you have an Alexa app on your phone. And I can conceptually follow that, but technically I'm not quite sure how that works. But conceptually, your Amazon app on your phone has access to your Amazon device and your phone.
Right.
So conceptually, it's not hard to imagine that it could feed you internet through your phone.
Yeah,
but technically, I'm not quite sure how it works, whether it goes through Bluetooth or whether it goes through Wi-Fi. But it would be bringing internet from your cell signal.
Well, you control it.
Somehow you have to be connected to that device through this
just
device.
Just like this little item that I bought to turn it on and off the air conditioner.
Yeah.
Same thing, it's controlled on the telephone.
Sure, right. But when you're in the car, you have to give that device internet somehow. And I understand that you have internet here and you have a link to that device. So it could provide internet to it. I just don't know how technically they're doing it.
Basically, I guess your phone's a hotspot and you're just attaching to it.
Yeah, that's easy to imagine. Or you could have a Bluetooth connection between it, and it could be like a Bluetooth headset, and you're just feeding, you know, and getting speaker and mic from your phone to the Alexa app.
Well, if you go to YouTube, they have a thing on it for. And then, there, like I said, you don't even need the Alexa. You can buy this other thing. It looks like a little puck, and it goes right up on the dash, and then it just plugs into your AC adapter.
But that's what you need. You need an AC adapter as well. You're talking about the... Hey, I kind of want to go back to this article for a second, because I had some things that I quoted from the article that I thought you guys would find interesting. Okay, so these are some... I quoted these right out of the article. Reveals people's travels in startling detail, accurate to within a few yards, and in some cases updated more than 14,000 times a day. In some cases, somebody is giving away their location data 14,000 times a day. That's incredibly accurate. Over 4 months of locations that the Times is going through, this one person was recorded 8,600 times on average once every 21 minutes. So I thought that was an interesting number to wrap your head around. And there's a quote here from talking about a nurse. A nurse in Manhattan saw that her device had been tracked to the main operating room at the hospital where she worked. She was concerned about the privacy for her patients, because in aggregate, you would have all those patients and all those healthcare workers all together, all at the same time, through periods of time, making it very clear what kind of procedures they were in surgery for, when they were in surgery for them. Are you right? Right? And all that's bundled up anonymously, but very easy to pinpoint who it is in a package that could be sold to insurers. Right? So under the table, without anyone actually being aware of, they're already keeping track of this kind of information. Right? They already know your health. You forget about openly sharing your health issues with some online health application. This is them knowing which doctors you're going to and being seen by, and which doctors you're getting surgeries by. It's just knowing. They're able to find that out when they go to look up your information, because they bought this location data, and there's nothing illegal about that.
So you just don't want to carry your phone with you all the time.
I don't premise this with any real good solutions. In fact, I'll fall back on my real good solution is we have to change the culture. We have to change the way we think about these things and the way they get regulated. We're too concerned about stopping businesses from doing things. If it's technically possible, it will be done. We need to get much more concerned about what we consider our human rights, and we need to put up protections in that manner.
Are a lot of high school kids thinking like that now? Because we're not going to be around to do it.
That's a good question.
I
don't know. I don't know. We've had a real dumbing down of our culture at the same time. So maybe not.
I don't think so.
There is, at least in my grandkids' high school system, there is an ethics in technology course being taught.
Oh, that's neat.
So.
Really?
Yeah. Now, what it comprises of, I don't know.
And wouldn't that be like a violation of HIPAA rights right there? I mean, wouldn't they be able to stop this just if they wanted to stop it right there as a violation of HIPAA?
I think that's an interesting question as well. I have no idea.
Well, you know, I don't know about you, but like my doctors won't let you email them. And I don't know if it's they claim it's the rules, but I'm thinking that they just don't. They would have to hire an extra person just to sit there and take everybody's emails, and they don't want to. The only way you can contact them is phone or faxing them.
Is it
paperwork?
Would it be? I mean, like I don't know anything about the HIPAA laws. I mean, from a technical standpoint, I know some things.
Disclose.
But the legal part of it, I don't understand at all. But I question: would it be illegal under HIPAA if you were able to gather all this anonymous data, and over here you're able to unanonymize it? But it didn't all come from the same place. Like that putting it together was some function you came up with. It wasn't something that was bought or recorded, but it was something that just happened.
That would be interesting.
I know that there is another topic that I didn't bring up last week that I was going to bring up. It's the Stop Grinch Bots Act. That is being introduced by lawmakers right now. And the Grinch Bot Act, I'm trying to relate these two topics. The Grinch Bot Act is one where there are bots. If you don't know what a bot is, it's an automatic program that's out there on the internet. We use the term bots from robots, and the idea is that you can write this program to be in like hundreds of thousands of different instances at the same time doing the same job. And what their job is to scour the internet looking for products that they know are going to be hot the moment that they become available at things like Black Friday or Cyber Monday, those very special discounted rates for things they know that are going to be in high demand, and immediately snatch up all those products before any real human has a chance to buy them, and then mark them up for resale 2, 3, 4 times their original cost.
Really?
Yeah. And they're called Grinch bots. And they've become a problem, and they are, as far as the lawmakers are concerned, they're definitely hurting people, and so they need regulation. And the reason that I'm thinking about this is because of what we were talking about with HIPAA just now. And this, there's already a law on the books about this, but because of the word ticket, because it had to do with Ticketmaster. And what happened when Ticketmaster first went electronic was there was immediately Grinch bots that were built to snag up tickets from Ticketmaster before any human could buy them. And then they could scalp them at 2, 3 times the price. And so there is a law on the books since 2016 that makes it illegal for producing of those kinds of programs. And it would apply specifically to these shopping bots, except in the legislation, they use terminology that reference specifically tickets. And that's why at this moment, it's legal to run these Grinch bots. And the HIPAA thing made me think of it, because I wouldn't be surprised the way the world's working right now, that there is some term in the HIPAA laws that would protect an insurance company mm-hmm. from buying this anonymous location data and tweaking it so that they could understand who you were before they were giving you insurance rates. I would not be surprised that some, just the same way that the tax people are scouring the tax law looking for every possibility for you to save money, there's somebody there in an insurance company scouring HIPAA looking for every opportunity to find your information without being in violation.
Well, I always think of that with Medicare because I have my Medicare in Washington State, but yet we have a mailing address in Arizona. And so far they haven't stopped us, like, from going to the doctor in Arizona. But I'm wondering if that eventually they'll say something to you. So, well, I have insurance in Washington State. You can get your Medicare and you can travel anywhere in the country. Whereas if you buy insurance in Medicare in Arizona, you have to go in the county that you live in. But the other problem is you have to have a street address for Medicare and Social Security.
Wait a minute.
My middle one
is
business.
That's not correct, because my address is Nogales, and all my doctors are in Tucson.
But your doctors go to Nogales too.
Is it Pinal County?
Well, most of the ARP, most of the ARP health insurance, if people get ARP,
right.
You have to go in the county that you're in.
It's ARP United Healthcare.
Right, but most people, if you have HMO, if you have an HMO, which I don't, but if I do know from several people here that if they have an HMO and they buy ARP, they have to go in the county that their address is in. Well, a lot of people have their address at Mariposa, and therefore you have to go to
a healthcare provider around that area.
Healthcare in Santa Cruz County, which is Nogales.
Wow.
So, unless you have, so that you can travel around. But in Arizona, most of the healthcare is by county, not by state.
That's true. So, they got a hold of
Brian
me.
That's amazing.
And they changed the county. I said, well, I've got another house in the county where I am.
Well, I know healthcare is a very interesting issue. It's something that matters to all of us. But let me try and relate this back to this tech article some more. I've got some more quotes that I think you guys would find interesting. This is a large article. It has a lot of visuals in it. I recommend you go and look at it because it just really is enlightening what kind of data can be tracked. I wrote in my notes here a section called Why? Why would businesses do this? And here's some quotes from the article. Businesses say their interest is in patterns, not in the identity that the data reveals about consumers. How tracking could reveal a person's preferences. For example, someone might search online for healthy recipes, but and they use the name Ground Truth, which is one of these companies that does analytics, can see that that person often chooses to eat at fast food restaurants. Be an interesting bit of analytics for a insurance company. Do you think that would be HIPAA compliant?
No.
If you wouldn't have to worry about HIPAA laws if I knew that you were a regular eater at McDonald's, even though your Google searches show that you're a healthy Googler.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right? I mean, that doesn't sound like medical data, but it would sure affect your insurance rates.
Yeah. Asking for a friend.
Asking for a friend, yeah.
Exactly.
Asking for a friend.
Here's another one that surprised me. Financial firms can find the information to make investment decisions before a company reports earnings. Wow. See, for example, if more people are working on a factory floor or going to a retailer's stores. So your investment capital company, you're trying to decide whether you're going to invest in a business. You buy analytical data that will show you how many people are frequenting a manufacturer firm. Like maybe out here in the maquilas. You can see how busy an assembly line is just by how many points of location are there on the assembly line. How often that's going on. In fact, the way big data works now, I wouldn't be surprised if you could correlate lines, just from my experience being in the Maculas, you could correlate when lines get tooled up, how long they stay tooled, when they get shut down, when they get changed, with orders from specific manufacturers. Like this company does wiring harnesses for Ford. Ford's been talking about putting out a new whatever in whatever market. All of a sudden, this line's getting tooled up. It's right. It's staying active for a number of weeks. It might be very easy to break down what those parts are being made for, which would may not make any sense to us, but to people that are looking for every pinpoint of data to make an investment, that would probably be helping them quite a bit.
Well, New York Stock Exchange, some of those are being controlled now by algorithms.
Yeah.
Not by individual investors.
But so that's what happened in the political thing, and not to get political, but that Analytica company that they were after, they were doing the same thing.
They were actually using data on individuals,
right,
so that you could send a conservative an ad that would make him hate more the liberal
right.
side. You could send a very specific liberal an ad that would make you
right.
hurt the conservative, hate the conservative side more.
So that's what this whole thing is about, is these companies controlling everything that we do. And it's all done with
interesting practical
algorithms.
Travel, hotels and airlines.
Yes.
If you don't sign up the first time at their rate, they check the cookie when you come back to that site, and
right.
so your rate tends to go up. And so deleting cookies can frequently get you back to the original low rate you were quoted.
Yeah.
So I'm going to finish. You guys got to check out the article, but I've just got a couple last things here. IBM is big into it. They just purchased the Weather Channel's apps. Apparently, that data gets distributed to 40 of these companies that analyze and sell this information. The prominent investors in location startups include Goldman Sachs and Peter Thiel, the PayPal founder. So big investment money is in these location services. Was there another point here? I think I've covered all the points I thought would be relevant that you guys would care about. But I would say, again, look at the article because it's really revealing. It's very interesting. As you scroll the page, satellite images will come up. And as you continue to scroll, noted points will animate the image. So it'll come up making a point, and then it'll make a dot on the image, and you'll scroll a little more, and then more dots will appear. A path will follow an individual and show you where they've been. It'll show you things like there's a satellite image of a healthcare facility, and it shows all these location points in it. It shows you that a church facility and all the location points in it at a specific time. It's just a little unnerving. It's very interesting. I think it helps wrap your head around the kind of data that can be pulled out of this stuff.
Wow.
And again, I don't have any real solutions. I think you can mitigate your own safety if you're concerned for your safety. Like if you're concerned about private investigators, things of that nature, then you could opt to turn off all your location data, not use location data apps. But we really are looking at a world where advertising is the biggest, it's the predominant business on the internet. All apps are being built in terms of advertising. They may bring you some utility, but they are really, their job is advertising to you. It's collecting data. You can't blame your app for advertising to you as much as you can blame your app for all the advertising that's happening on the internet. Because that's the business. And it's mostly Google and Facebook. But all our apps right now are getting built with the intention of selling your data to advertisers.
They sell it quick, too.
Yeah. Now, well, quick is all that matters. I mean, like, you can't get a coupon for Starbucks unless you're right around the corner from Starbucks.
So what happens if you have it checked to only while you're using the track location, only while you're using this app?
Yeah, you know, and that's a very good point. And what we found out was that, I hope that's going to be fixed recently, really soon. But just within the last few weeks, we talked about how it was discovered that those apps are actually still tracking you.
Right, because I have that marked for the Weather Channel, but yet it still keeps coming up with current things, even though I don't have the app open.
Okay, so
that's another reason
interesting
to close
thing.
The app on your...
Well, and to follow up on what you're saying, that's when you're aware of it still
yes.
tracking you. The article that we were talking about a few weeks ago was nobody had any idea it was still tracking you. Like, they were intentionally still tracking your locations even though you had shut down the app, even though you had intended for it not to track your location.
Well, another interesting thing is a lot of people have phones from the U.S. or we've bought phones in Mexico. So if you notice about the tracking, if you turn it off about the location, then they won't let you... You can't get to certain websites because I've tried it. Mm. Same thing on the tablet. Mm-hmm. Because you registered these and you said you were in the United States, etc. We registered all the phones, said they were in the U.S. so that we could get English. Okay. And you turn off the location, then you won't be able to get the... Because I've tried it, and then you won't be able to get the news either.
Well, that has to do with timing. And that's what you're talking about is timing. If, in fact, you don't have... I mean, we've been talking about implants into human bodies. Uh-huh. That will track you forever.
Mm. Well, they've done that with babies. They've had a couple of instances where newborns
Well, you do with dogs.
Implanted
yeah. all the time.
Dogs and cats.
With dogs and cats, it makes a lot of sense because they can't self-identify. And really, the tracking...
Speaking of dogs and cats, this morning on the mail or on the news, they have a face recognition. If you have a lost pet, you put a picture up.
Yeah.
If you find the lost pet, you put a picture up, and in seconds they
wow.
they match the two.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah, that was face recognition to find your lost dog.
Right.
Wow. But now they just have to expand that to all the closed caption TVs that you find signals in an area. And every time a cat has walked in front of a camera, it'll be facial recognized.
Yeah, there you go.
Are you
questions?
Sure, Ed, go ahead.
My computerized Christmas tree lights aren't working.
I hate it when that happens.
and the second thing is,
right where they manufacture.
The second thing is,
have you checked your internet connection?
Yeah.
Alexa plug-in because you can plug your lights into there and control it.
Nothing more frustrating. The lights won't flash because your internet's down.
The second question is. Lately, Microsoft Edge is opening up as a kind of a precursor to my Google Chrome opening up. So when I shut my computer down and turn it back on, Edge turns on. I can click it off and then go to my.
But it's kind of, the Edge window is opening when you restart your computer.
Well, you didn't put in your.
That's
you
interesting.
Put in that Google Chrome is
I've got
Google. No, but this is automatically launching. Automatic. That's what you're saying.
I went into...
I think it's something that Google did.
No.
No?
No, but I would look for startup items. I would look for something that's trying to start up a web address. And an easy way to do that... In Windows 10, if you bring up the Task Manager... There's a startup tab, and you can look there and see if there's anything that looks hinky in that list, and you can disable it right from that list.
About everything in my startup is disabled.
Another place that you could install CCleaner, it has a startup list.
CCleaner works.
Yeah. Glary Utilities has a startup list.
Is Sea Cleaner got a free startup?
Yes. Yeah, yeah. Both of those have free versions.
I've got Sea Cleaner, so.
Yeah, so go into the tools and then go into the startup, and it'll show you a list of things. And maybe you'll find it there. It seems like those utilities look in all different areas too. Like you can have a shortcut in your startup. You can have a line in your run in your registry, but you can also have services. And sometimes you can't find all those. And I would look in Glary's utility, and I would look in Sea Cleaner to make sure that you've covered all bases where those things could start up. Have we got any other questions? Any more about this article from the New York Times? I'll just put the link up on the website. You guys can check it out. It's a New York Times article. It's called "Your Apps Know Where You Were Last Night, and They're Not Keeping a Secret." And I'll put a link on our website so you guys can take a look at it. And I'll put a link to the Grinch Act, too, because that was an interesting read. And I come with another topic that I saw on the news this morning. I don't know if you guys noticed, but Google's now saying that 52.5 million users' data was exposed on Google+. You remember when they said it was only 50,000? This morning they're saying it was 52.5 million users' data. I mean, that's like an Xperia exposure, right?
I thought they were closing down Google+.
Oh, they're closing it down faster now.
Yeah.
They are. They're saying April instead of August. Because of that. Yeah. It's prompted them to shut it down 4 months earlier.
Okay, he's got a question.
Yeah.
Okay, so I'm back to kind of like basic Wi-Fi stuff.
Okay.
So we live on a boat.
Okay.
So it's like living in a basement in the water.
Right.
And in the marina, we have a difficult time getting a reliable Wi-Fi signal from the
marina.
Yeah. So.
Can you get a slip right here? I can get it from tequila.
We're down at the other end.
Okay.
Not close enough to get tequila.
That's too bad, because I would be hooked to tequilas if I had a boat right out here.
So basically what I want to know is what kind of equipment do I need to invest in pick up tequilas? Just get a signal so I can amplify it. If I put an antenna outside, I know I'll have a lot better success than I do down below where I
Right. But you're always going to be suffering from this marginal experience. And it's because you have to be able to transmit and receive in both directions. So, first, the marina has to be covering you, and then you have to be covering your distance to the marina. There are two radiuses that have to intersect. There are two circles that have to intersect at the radius of both points. Okay, so that's what you're suffering from. You're having to expand not only what you can do, but you have to be within the limitations of what they can do.
Yeah.
Then, after you've overcome that limitation, you're still at the limitation of capacity and how many people are being fed. How many people are being provided internet by that one source. And so you're always in competition from everyone else, and you're actually in competition against everyone else that's closer than you are. They all have a better chance of getting better internet than you do. So I don't have a good recommendation for anything except a distance antenna, but then you're still suffering from being at the margin of how far can they broadcast and how much is in between you and them.
That was that new internet provider from TCS, I believe it is.
What is TCS?
It's a dish, basically out of Hermosillo.
Oh, that's interesting.
I'm not even sure.
You can sign up for it here in Mexico?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And if you look on the Viva board, they give you 30 megs. And it's cheap. You can get 10, 20, and 30.
Is that up and down?
Up and down.
Wow, that sounds great. TCS, you called it?
TCS. Yeah,
we discussed it when you were on here.
It's a satellite. They come and install it. They speak English. They
put up a dish, I guess.
Yeah, you have any idea of the costs, or do you know anything about the data limitations?
On Diva, it covers it.
Thank you,
Scott. Oh, you're welcome, Robin.
A regular antenna rather than a dish.
Let's see.
I know. Dish is direct.
But you don't know if there's a data cap on it or anything like that?
I don't remember. Like I say, Viva had it. Let's see if I can find it again.
I had
maybe,
it.
Might be ICS.
It's happy.
CS.
I had that type of service in Busirius.
ICS?
Antenna.
So I didn't hear, but he said
there was,
no,
there was poor internet
service. Or TCS. Well, it looks like
it's RG. And it worked good.
I don't think it's TCS. What is it?
It's TCS.
TCS. Well, I'll look it up on Viva and take a look at what they're saying.
And it's on Bart's board also.
Okay.
TCS satellite service?
And the phone number, if you want to write it down, you can call the guy. It is 662-1377-275.
Wait, it's 662-137-775?
662-137-7275.
7275. What's his name?
And that's for the English speaking.
TCS Network, yes.
For TV as well.
That's my brother.
Well, that's cool to know, because that could be a solution for a number of situations.
Yeah, a lot of people in Loma Del Mar have been getting it, because they're in that hole.
Yeah.
They're having a lot of trouble with it. A lot of people in the Ranchitos. RD, if you know who he is, our nickname, he got it. He's extremely happy with it. He's been able to stream now.
Well, that's great. Loma del Mar isn't actually in a hole. It just has no coverage from Telcel. Yeah. It's got a logical hole.
It doesn't have any coverage from that the other guy, XP Pro.
XPro.
Do you know how?
Doesn't really work there very well either.
No, it's unfortunate. I mean, it's in a virtual hole because Telmex doesn't claim responsibility inside the park, only to the box. And the problem is their infrastructure in the park is just lousy.
You never change it?
Sopping wet, old wires.
You don't know how, huh?
The wind blows and they have different service.
Twist it and then you twist it back.
Well, that's great, Jim. I'm going to look that up because that could be a solution for a lot of people.
I've had that service before in
Oh, yeah? Did you like it?
Yeah, it was good.
It was good. Do you remember, was there any data caps on it or limitations?
I don't think so.
Wow. That could be a solution for a lot of people.
Was it expensive?
A little pricey, not bad. I think it was under $50 a month.
Well, if you're getting guaranteed, what were you getting, 10, 20, 30?
I think 20.
20? 20 for 50 sounds really good to me.
Oh, here it is.
Is James still here? James is here. All right, this is for you, James. Energy costs of mining Bitcoin more than twice that of copper or gold.
TCS Networks.
TCS Networks. All right, I will look it up.
We ground ourselves after this, do a little earthing?
Can you believe that? They're estimating that we're spending more money in energy costs to mine bitcoins than pulling gold and silver and copper out of the earth.
They're doing it on solar.
Yeah, it looks like
so you think it's Hughes?
It says it's Hughes Network Systems.
What does it have anything on the speeds though? Because Hughes was notoriously slow forever.
Yeah, they're horrible, and they had data limits.
That's right.
Look at this. Ubiquity Network.
Huh. Well, it definitely warrants some looking up. I'll take a look at it and see if it's, because if it is all that, it's a good suggestion. And I'll put the energy, the mining, the Bitcoin mining link on the website as well if you guys are interested.
No.
Did they have the charges in here?
What? I didn't see it.
Shorter?
You think if you clicked...
Take a look at the watch.
On air?
Well, Hughes was kind of expensive in there.
Back in the day, it was expensive and slow, and it had data caps on it.
This page can't be found.
Uploading to it was a lot slower than downloading.
Google it.
You get some... Oh, yeah? I used to have one on my office when it was next to the commissario.
I gave up.
After Debbie's Cafe Internet, it was the only high-speed internet connection in town, and people would come and use the dish to do downloads for things they needed. That was years ago.
Mode and the other.
Okay, so this is what they've got.
I got one more topic, if anybody's interested.
Yep.
Yeah, we're interested.
Yeah?
What it is.
It's just a quick one. It is Apple Music. I don't know if any of you are Apple Music subscribers. In case you're unaware of it, you can take advantage of it on your Android device as well as your Apple devices, and you pay a monthly fee for access to their entire collection of music. So if you've ever looked in the Apple Store, the iTunes Store, and saw songs for sale for 99 cents or $1.99, if you subscribe to their monthly service, you have access to that entire catalog. You don't have to pay any of those fees. You can just pick and choose from it. That has now come to Alexa. So if you're already an Apple Music subscriber, all you have to do is add the Apple Music skill to your Echo device, and you can ask Alexa to play from your Apple Music collection.
What's it cost you?
Nothing. I mean, you're already paying for your Apple Music collection.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. But adding it to your Alexa is completely free.
Okay. My understanding is that if you have Alexa, you have to have Amazon Prime.
If you want access to the Prime Music.
Right.
You're already paying in order to get... Like with an Echo, you're already paying the Prime $14 a month.
If you want access to the music collection from Prime. Actually, Echo, Amazon, makes it very convoluted. There is no free music. If you're a Prime member, then there's free music for Prime members. And if you're a music fan... There's millions of tracks of music if you subscribe to Music Unlimited, which is an additional fee.
I think it's $5 a month.
You can get some free radio stations. I bought the Amazon Prime from Mexico for $45.
I've got that. Does that allow you to do music through your Alexa?
Well, I haven't got my Alexa yet.
Okay, that's what would be interesting to see. Because to the best of my knowledge, they don't have...
Music down here?
I don't believe they have I know they have video, and I know they have shipping, but I'm not certain about music. And I'm fairly certain that the music that we're taking advantage of down here comes from the U.S. Prime subscription.
Well, I got the Mexico Prime.
I've got both. That's why it gets been
I got some radio stations from the U.S. off of it. Sunny, they have a whole list of them. You can get them in different areas of the country.
It's interesting. I haven't even looked for radio stations.
And I just picked a couple of the radio stations. I got Sunny 103. That's like 80s, 70s, 80s music. But they got a whole list of different areas of the country. So you can find a station. Say you're from a certain place and you want a station.
And that
from
comes
there.
Off the internet.
Yeah.
Yeah, because I got it. I set it up right on my Amazon, on my Alexa app here.
If you guys have Prime, you should always be going back and checking what that entails for you, because there's free music that ends up from their collection that you're able to listen to, and it's a large collection of free music. We haven't had any reason to subscribe to Music Unlimited with our Alexa. We play music all the time in the house and haven't needed that additional. Cause it's like tens of thousands of, I think it's over 1 million songs for Prime, and it's over 6 million songs if you've got the Music Unlimited account.
But you need the Echo or something to play it.
Well, not necessarily. You can take advantage of that using the Fire TV app. No, using the Amazon Music app. I'm sorry, the Amazon Music app. And you can install that at least on Amazon devices, but I think you can install it on iDevice as well. I think.
Well, look, it says Amazon Music Unlimited, Amazon.com MX.
Oh, so they do have it. Well, that's actually we were talking about the Prime Music, but they do have the unlimited music.
Free trial, 3 months.
Yeah, and look at that! They're charging half the price for it. It's 99 pesos a month for Amazon Music Unlimited in Mexico.
So, 50 bucks a month.
$5 a month.
$5 a month. I'm sorry.
Yeah. You and whoever that was, Prime, have decimal problems.
What's that?
The one you were talking about was 50 million, and they said it was 50,000.
Oh.
They had decimal problems.
Oh, decimal problems.
Oh, yeah, right. Well, no, that was Google I was talking about. Google told us that they had lost 50,000 people's data. Mm-hmm. They had 50,000 Google Plus users affected. And now they're saying, no, wait. It was 52.5 million users. I mean, basically, as far as we're concerned, everybody. without a doubt, your information. If you have a Google account, your information was lost.
It's the decimal problem.
Yeah.
Speaking of what it says, I can't read it.
Put music using your voice. Put music in all your devices. Without advertising, without internet. Oh, that's a good point. I forgot to mention that. Unlimited, Music Unlimited, if you're subscribed to Google's Unlimited Music, you can download those tracks into a device so you don't need internet to listen to them. I mean, at some point, if you were to cancel your subscription, that device would be connected and go, hey, these have expired, you can't use them. But that's one of the advantages of the Apple Music subscription is that you're allowed to download those songs from the library and stick them in devices so that you can listen to them without an internet connection.
We talked about LastPass last week.
Okay.
And Epic the week before or whatever. I contacted LastPass. At the moment, they do not have an
Epic plugin.
An Epic plugin.
And the Chrome plugin won't work.
No.
That's good to know.
Well, the Chrome works with Chrome, but it doesn't work with Epic.
So the way I understood Epic from what I read was that the Chrome plugin should work, but it sounds like that's not the case.
Well, that's what I asked about it.
Yeah, they would know.
You know, I said, since it's, you know,
Chromium.
Epic's offshoot of Chrome, I thought it would work. And they said, no, it's not, but it's on our list.
So what that must mean is that it's the Chrome plugins are close to working, but there must be some switch that has to be made to make them work in Epic. So Epic, does Epic have like an... I haven't spent enough time playing with the Epic browser. Do they have like an add-on store like Chrome does?
Don't know. I couldn't make LastPass work, and then just... It's in my list of things I can pull up for the... As far as anything else,
I'm writing it on my lookup list for next week because I'm really curious now if they have an add-on shop.
Do you?
Yeah.
Because I wrote them and they said, no, you can't get it on Epic yet.
I'm pretty sure that's what I'm using between Chrome and Epic. I go back and forth.
Well, it works on Chrome, no problem.
Yeah,
but it won't pop up on Epic.
It works on, and let's just reiterate that it works on Firefox and Opera as well. It's
also
Safari. And Edge. It works on Microsoft Edge. What was just announced, which seems like a crazy Microsoft move, we'll make this the last topic. Microsoft Edge is to be rebuilt on top of the Chromium web browsing engine or the web rendering engine. Microsoft is going to stop building their own web rendering engine. And this is like the motor that goes inside the car. I mean, they're still going to be building the Ford, but now the motor is coming from Tesla. They will not build a motor any longer. They do not see it as a profitable venture. All they've ever had to do is try and keep up with standards. And so many other browsers have standardized on this, that this is actually a good thing, and it might bring Microsoft Edge more into our lives because they can focus on things that you and I experience on the front end instead of focusing on making the technical things work on the back, because the back end is already being focused on. So that's a big deal. Anyway, we'll call it. Yeah, Jim, you can go. We're done.
I know. You can come by the house.
Oh. Or do you want your part? I can get it for you now.
Either way.
Yeah? All right. Well, hey, I'm going to call this an end. This is the San Carlos Computer Club. We meet every Tuesday from 9:15 to 10:15. It's just a little after that now. I'm Scott Stimson. If you have any computer problems, I don't like to call them problems. If you have any computer issues on the internet or here in San Carlos, I'd sure appreciate you getting a hold of me at internationalcs.net. You can also get a hold of me or see recordings and listen to recordings of this meeting on our website at sccclub.org, which is back up this week. If you've gone to sccclub.org over the last 2 weeks, it's been in chaos, but it's finally mellowed out. And last week's recording is on it. Links to the YouTube videos are on it. The thing is back and working and in good condition and should be providing a feed in iTunes as well as other podcast catchers that are out there. Just search for the San Carlos Computer Club. Again, I'm Scott Stimson saying tech on, and I'll see you next Tuesday. Goodbye.
Yay.
Say that again.
Can you call yourself?
Yes, I do all the time.
Scott, what's your availability?
I've got some time tomorrow afternoon, I think. Let me see.
Did you bring any business cards? I need your address.
I did bring some business cards. Let me dig them out.
Because I want to send a proof of it. I know the lady said for your